Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
How do we continue to entertain ourselves with the same opening that we've had for over a season now? Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints talk. With me, as usual, to my right, Heath Elsenson.
Hello.
To my left, Tomas Mauricio.
Here.
So from Ruston to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro. Sit back, relax, because for the next hour, we're going to be doing 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. Gentlemen. My blood pressure is just now starting to get back to normal.
It may have been
one of the most stressful games, and Heath, I don't understand why the stress. Yeah. It's not like we've never been in a close game, and I think that I've just gotten to the point, especially on the heels of the Atlanta game a couple of weeks ago. I had huge expectations coming out of the bye.
Yeah.
And I think that every time we don't just walk out and just motorboat teams,
yeah,
especially teams that aren't supposed to be that good, then it just erodes a little bit of what I was expecting. And that's why I'm just like, at some point you just want them to, yeah, that's the team. But I tell you, the one thing that I have been hearing that does make me feel a little bit better about it, by the way, the New Orleans Saints do win.
Yeah.
34-31 over the Carolina Panthers Sunday afternoon. Is that people keep talking about the seasons that the 09 season and seasons that we played pretty very well, and that they are games. It just puts it in perspective. You have games in 09, Washington, Miami. You know, now we didn't lose to those guys, but we did have our games where we weren't on top of it and found a way to win. And it's funny how back then the expectations were, look at us, we're a team of destiny, we barely won. Now our expectations are different. Dang it, we barely beat that team. Yeah, we should have beat them by more. It's not the idea
funny
of
how
team
things change, huh?
Yeah, it's funny how expectations change.
How spoiled you get so quickly. You know, look, I think it's just a reminder. Everybody, any sports fan anywhere always wants their team to come out and just handle people, especially bad teams. We all do it. We're all guilty of it. But it's just a reminder that, quite frankly, these are all professional franchises, and while some of them aren't as good as others, the old saying that any team is capable of beating any other team on any given day is true.
The margin, Tomas, really, right now, one of the things that makes our defense go from looking like a top 10 defense and it sometimes look dominant, it can be one player. PJ Williams comes to the game after looking pretty good, and we've always known that he's had his weaknesses on the outside. He's a much better interior cornerback in the slot. But I feel like I watched the game today, and I feel like I missed one, but I have at least 103 yards and two touchdowns that he gave up on three plays. Now, I thought there was another play in there where he gave up a big play over the top. There was the one play where Williams
– a touchdown.
Touchdown. Then there was a play where I can't remember which receiver came over the came across the middle and it caught the ball and then turned around and ran up the field the other way and then there was the touchdown.
That was more, too.
Yeah. I feel like there was another one, but I don't recall seeing it. Maybe I overlooked it or whatever. But where I'm going with this, Tomas, is that one player, Lattimore, being out of that defense, man, it is obvious that they attacked P.J. Williams. So one guy being out could be the difference. And how I'm trying to put this all together is that, you know, this other team is not that far from being just as good as you, except they don't have Lattimore and you do have Lattimore. And when you don't have Lattimore, all of a sudden, things are a little bit more even.
Yeah.
Well, I would say to you that, look, you look at these other teams, right? People talking about San Francisco. People talking about Seattle, Green Bay, the New England Patriots. Here's the difference the way I see it. These teams come in to play the New Orleans Saints. And as opposed to the other teams, they come here and they're like, if we beat the Saints, we make our mark for this year. Nobody's saying that about if we beat San Francisco, we make our mark for this year.
Right.
Nobody's saying it. If we beat Dallas, we make our mark for this year. There's no other team out there that
right.
people
it's
are
not,
saying.
Not, regardless of San Francisco's record, no team to date, I bet you, is going in there saying, now I think they're going to start thinking that way.
No, I don't think so.
But not the way they look at the Saints or they look at New England and they go into the season circling that.
It's very different. Now, I will say to you that, yes, PJ, we already knew that. He's not a cornerback that plays the outside. He's good in the slot. That's it. And that's what we knew. And that's where we were going to put him, you know, until my boy Gardner Johnson came through. And suddenly you're like, well, wait, hold on a second.
Right. Maybe he don't have a spot there either.
Exactly. We'll see. But I'm going to say this to you. I know you think that he got beat all those times. And I know you think it's because we don't have Lattimore. I would say to you that there were a number of people that as I rewatched the game, I think there were a number of people on defense who just didn't seem to have that spark, if you know what I mean. You know, they didn't seem to have, like, this is the second game that I watched Cam Jordan. I love Cam Jordan to death, and he certainly is a linchpin in our defense. But it's the second game that I didn't really see him assassinate the quarterback.
Okay, well, now... Okay, now
you know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna have to say that I think maybe at some point you and many others of us got to the point where our expectations are so high.
Well,
and
yes,
the better he does, the more attention he gets. So
I understand that, but at the same time, your guy who you're high on, Davenport, you know, is supposed to take the pressure off of him.
And you know what?
T-Hex is supposed to take the pressure off. Okay, so I'm expecting more because these two guys have come into play. You know, we got Rankins in the middle. We're talking about, we brought in Brown. We brought in, you know,
Onyemata,
suddenly you have all these other people. Well, okay. I'm looking at him and I'm like, gee, doesn't look like he's, you know.
So here's the thing.
Unlike some people who think that Kamara's playing and he doesn't have that same giddy up, I would beg to differ. If you go back and look at the game and you look at all the plays that he played, he's playing receiver. He's playing the slot. He's playing running back. He's playing.
I mean, he's playing those positions, but it's so funny how two people could look at a game and see it completely different.
Well, I'm just saying to you.
I'm not saying he's a bad player.
And when he's running, like that one at the end of the game where we're going down the field and he gets that little screen pass from Breeze, it doesn't look like he's running hard. But watch how much ground he carries as he's running.
I mean, I completely get that. You know? My point is really it's more elementary than look at that particular play. I mean, that was a huge play in the fourth quarter that put us in position.
But there were some other ones. There was a one where he was just standing on a line of scrimmage.
Right. He ends up getting 8 or 10 yards on a first down.
Yeah. I mean, there were plays all over the place that he did.
But the reality of it is Kamara's another one of those guys where the expectations are that he's just doing something magical every game. And since he's gone out with the injury, I'm not saying he's played poorly, but he's not the magical guy that we
could
expect.
Could the offensive philosophy be different? Could the way that Sean Payton's calling the game be different?
Well, I think both are true.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Kamara is actually 100% for Kamara.
Well, he might not be.
But I also do think, I mean, hell, look at the last game. He was almost non-existent the entire first half of the game.
Yep. Yep.
They talked about it, you know. Sean Payton said, oh, well, don't worry, in the second half you're going to see more.
Now, and that makes it sound like it was intentional.
Right.
Which makes you think that maybe there's something about a Thursday night, a quick turnaround, that let's not
but
get
beat
up. But
he got 15 carries in the second half, so
yeah.
He got 15
I don't
touches.
Know. You know, I'm not sure, but I kind of feel like it goes more into preparation and the team's thought process coming. I think it starts before you even get to the game.
Yes, I agree.
There's just the second game they didn't – well, you know, they started out hot. At least the offense did, right? For a change, they actually went right down the field and scored very efficient looking, very – and then they turned around and dropped off. But it's like they just kind of – I don't know if they're overlooking these teams or if they're, you know – but
well, I have another one for you. Could it be that they get so many bad calls against them that it deflates the balloon?
Well, that's something we're definitely going to have to look more into. Don't go anywhere because we're going to talk about that. But we got a lot more to talk about. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, Wall to Wall Saints. We'll be right back.
I'll never be your face.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew talking wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football. Before we went to break, Tomas was kind of talking about the referees. And, you know, okay, I'm not one that likes to blame the referees for everything because it's always been my thought that there are times when there are obvious calls that need to be made. But when you're officiating and your job pretty much you could call, I'm trying to word this right, you can make a call on just about every single play. Yes. I think Heath made that, said that.
I guarantee you, there's multiple penalties on every single play.
So when you really think about what a referee's job is, and I used to always disagree with the, well, this team had, even in basketball, this team had 22 fouls, this one only had 8. And you're like, well, then they fouled more. But the reality of it, the referees are generally out there just to make sure things don't get out of hand. If they called every holding call, or if you called every foul in basketball, the game would, there'd be a penalty on every play. So the referees are generally looking for the egregious fouls, or should be.
Yeah.
And at the in the end, you should generally be pretty close. But if you decide that you want to call holding on every play on one team, you could probably justify it. Or hands to the face on that one's a little bit less, but the point is you could call them all. How many times do we see that go uncalled? And there is a point where you say, how is it that we get called for everything or so many, it's out of proportion. And there is a point where you can say there's something not right with the officiating, biased against the Saints, and there's some conspiracy theories out there. But essentially, you could call on every play. If you do call it on every play for one team and you only call it once out of 10 on the other team, it is going to cause you some issues in trying to keep the momentum of your offense. And the one thing I'll say before I turn it over to you, Tomas, is the Saints, to me, the one weakness their offense now has that it didn't have in the past is that it's just harder for them to overcome the being behind the chains. 2nd and 8, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9. And when they get these holding calls, it sets them back. When they don't get the holding calls, they're still extremely efficient.
Well, it's not just the holding calls. We have the same coaching staff. We have the same players pretty much. And yet, from one year to another, you see a team that was ranked in the NFL as one of the teams with the least number of penalties to a team that now has the most number of penalties. Now, you know, I can understand.
And the biggest disparity, too. I saw that. The Saints have the biggest disparity between the amount of penalties they have and the other teams.
Correct. So not only did they go from being one of the least penalized to one of the most penalized, they also went from being more penalized than whatever team they're playing against. So how do you justify that? And some of these calls, okay, like for example, the pass interference call with the red flag that the North Carolina threw.
You say that all the time. Yeah, I love
it. Carolina threw, right? Okay, I'm not saying that my boy Garner Johnson didn't interfere with the trajectory of where the player was going. But that's what I call one of those ticky-tack kind of calls.
That you didn't have to make.
You did not have to make.
Now, so here's the problem, Tomas, is they didn't make it. They didn't make the call. They didn't call pass interference.
Right.
The flag was thrown.
It was challenged because they didn't call it.
But that's what I'm saying. Then when they did challenge it,
right?
Again, when you watch it, I've seen it I don't know how many times, it wasn't a blatant pass. It wasn't like the Los Angeles Rams game where the ball's in the air 5 yards away and a guy tattoos you.
Right.
Okay? This is, he got off of the guy he was covering to go with the guy who's going across the field, and they swiped each other. And, you know, what did he move his trajectory? You know, an inch? Okay, that's a ticky-tack call. I'm not saying that it wasn't Pass interference? I'm just saying.
Well, here, okay. So what really complicates this thing is that they didn't call it. They didn't call it when it happened.
Yes.
And to a degree, I would say it's a little more than ticky-tack, but it's one of those plays at the time that, but when you replay it, now it becomes, for lack of a better word, political. Because if you look at it, the ball was out of the quarterback's hands. Gardner Johnson gave him a shoulder, and the ball, you know, you can argue whether it was catchable. I do believe it was catchable.
No.
But the fact of the matter is, when you stop and break down all the elements of the play, it was pass interference. But then you get into the politics of it. They haven't been turning anything over.
Yeah.
So now the irony in it is, and I know I've read this error, this is not some new thought, is the play or the penalty that was put in because of how we were egregiously fouled comes back and bite, well, almost bit us.
Yeah. Well, you know, and in fact, the commentators even said it. Who was the color guy?
Wasn't it
Romo? Wasn't it
Romo? Yeah.
You know, I think they can't do this to him, right? Like, I mean, like everybody had that thought go to their mind, right? This thing was put in for a 1-year trial because of the Saints Rams fiasco. The rate of changing these calls in this year has made it to the point where they need to just get rid of it because it's been inconsequential.
Yeah.
But now here we come with the situation about the non-call that gets challenged against the Saints. And these guys, after the game they've already had up to this point, right, which was already less than stellar officiating up to this point, go and actually make the call in the review. Now, you know, you watched the game again, maybe.
I
haven't seen it again. You feel confident the ball was actually out of his hands when the actual shoulder occurred?
Yeah, yes.
I wasn't yesterday convinced at all. But the other thing is, I'm definitely not convinced that the ball was catchable, even if he wasn't
hitting. It wasn't catchable.
The flight path of the ball to me did not look like it was catchable. But the bottom line is that, we could talk about it more later, but the offensive pass interference against Thomas, and then later in the game, similar play on the other side, doesn't get called.
Right.
Okay. That's the ones that drive me crazy.
Well, it was
literally the same scenario.
Talking about the pass interference that was called on Cook, the tight end, and that they threw the flag and they reviewed it. And the
I thought it was Thomas with a touchdown.
It was Cook. Yeah. And they show the replay because I thought it was pass interference too, or offensive pass interference. Right. But really, you know, the guy puts his hand on Cook. Cook, you know, the hand fighting that goes on all the time. And it wasn't even a bunch of it. I've seen it 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Okay, that's embellishing a little bit, but I've seen it much worse. And then the guy just kind of trips on his own, and then they throw the flag.
No, that's not the one I'm talking about.
Well, that was the one that Coach
the
Payton threw the challenge flag, and they reviewed it and they called it. They said, it's passing. They just let it stand.
I'm talking about the touchdown to the front corner of the end zone, Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
And then later in the game, we saw it as very similar play on their side. And I can't remember which player it was for them that did the same exact thing in turnaround. And it was on a critical third down. It was like a third and four, third and six, I want to say. And if it had been called, which it wasn't, they pick up the first down on it. They went on to score on that drive.
Right.
Anyway, the point
well, the
is,
good
is
thing, that, the good thing is, even when they got the first down after that pass interference, we held them. They might have made the field goal if they would have had to go to fourth down before, but now they went three times, didn't go in. The kicker comes out and kicks a beautiful ball. Oh, it's over to the right.
Yeah.
And he missed it. You know, and then you got to see a pro. Breeze comes on and goes, how much time I got? 2 minutes? Ha! Okay.
Yeah.
So,
well, before we move on to good and bad and ugly,
I
want to say, because I've heard a lot of people, and this really bothered me, and we've done it before, and sometimes I feel it's right. Sometimes you clinch victory from the jaws of defeat, or vice versa. I don't think that the Saints, I hear, they should have lost the game, even if they make that field goal.
Yeah, we drive down for a touchdown.
Yeah,
and win
well, because
the
there was a lot of time. The Saints burned a lot of time. But even if they don't, you know, there's nothing to say they kicked the field goal to go over in overtime and win the game. But what I'd really like to say about this is, if you look at it, is Carolina had six cracks in the red zone.
Right. Didn't make it.
And didn't make it.
Yeah, that's right.
And they got on third down, they got a first down from the pass interference turnover.
Right. Right.
Turn. And then three more cracks at it inside the 10 and still couldn't score. Matter of fact, not just inside the 10, inside the 5. Right. Yeah. And so I don't want to hear the Saints didn't deserve to win that game.
No, they deserve to win it.
How is that? I mean, that is just ignorant. I'm sorry, but that's probably one of the more ignorant things that I've heard in a long time.
Yep. If you take, and I know you can do all this stuff, but I just want to say, if you take out some things like Cam Jordan and that punching the ball out, maybe he probably did, because we all know Cam Jordan's a good guy. He's not a dirty player.
No.
So did he not hear the whistle?
That's what he said. He said he didn't hear the whistle.
And he's but here's the thing, too. If you watch the ball punch or whatever you want to call it, it was kind of a forearm.
Yeah, when he lifted the arm up was the question.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to punch the ball out, the arm ain't really going to come up at all.
So right there, the Saints.
That one I don't complain about.
But the point is that led to a touchdown.
Yeah.
You talking about the play with P.J. Williams, the 51-yard. I mean, these are plays that you don't expect. Well, I guess on P.J. Williams, it's hard to make that argument. Well, yeah. But I'm going to say if Lattimore was in there, you know.
Maybe not.
There were a lot of circumstances involved where we gave them things. And
take all of the rest of it out. It doesn't matter. If they kick the field goal, the Saints can certainly at least tie it, which they did because they kicked the field goal on their own. So they would have at least tied the game.
Yep.
I'm not convinced they don't manage that last drive differently and get the ball in the end zone.
No,
Nothing leads me to believe that they couldn't have done. Same thing if Carolina actually had gotten in instead of kicking the field goal. They would have gotten in sooner.
Right.
Most likely. You'd have had more time, and there's nothing stopping Breeze from tying the game and sending it to overtime the other way. Exactly. So all this about, you know.
No, and I agree with you. Maybe I got into the weeds a little bit too much. But to me, there were a lot of things in that game where we just did silly things, which are kind of a sign of a bad team, but we're not. Yeah. But things that are uncharacteristic that kept them in the game.
Right.
So – the point is I think if we play that game 10 times, we win 7. So, just my opinion.
I think we win 9.
I think we win 9, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
All right, Heath, you always get put on the spot because you're the first guy. And but because you're the most prepared guy on the show.
That's right.
Yes. I always come to you first. That's right. So go through all the paperwork you have in front of you there.
All right, here. And give us something to shuffle. Yeah,
shuffle that around. All right. Which one are you going to go with of all your notes?
Of all of my notes, I'm going to go with Umama, as Wesley called it. Umame.
Umame, yeah.
He wasn't perfect.
No.
But he comes in after Armstead goes out. Right away, everybody's thinking, oh, my God, this is going to be horrible. This is even worse than losing Pete and putting in these other guys, Clapp or Easton. But anyway, he came in, and for the most part, he didn't do anything that really cost a whole lot.
Well, until he gave up a sack on the last drive, which we overcame.
Well, but, he did. Yeah. What I'm saying, if you take the whole bulk
I agree with you. But what I'm saying is the thing about backups and not the way Clapp played is that the difference between a guy like Armstead and a guy like your mama plays is, generally speaking, Teron won't give up anything. And occasionally in 3 or 4 games, he'll give up a sack or whatever because he's that good, and that's why he makes a big money. But the real difference between him and a guy who's underneath is they do pretty good, and then that one sack that caused strip fumble and you lose. So the scary part about having a guy like that in there. But generally speaking, much better than I was expecting. Matter of fact, we even talked about maybe we can have all the guys – who are actually active on the Saints roster on game day, give us a call. Let us know because we have no idea you're out there. None.
Yeah,
none.
Right.
Didn't know. I'm like, the whole game I referred to him as 60.
Yeah.
No idea who he was.
I know you. That's what you said. It's 60.
Number 60's in there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I to follow on that, I thought he played a good game. My concern is that we now have a completely new left side of the offensive line.
Yeah.
And we have a rookie at center. So now – you know, that worries me a little bit. Now, if you want my good, in the time we have left here, my good is that finally it seems that the chemistry is starting to connect between Drew Brees and our tight end. So I'm going to take Cook as my good for the game.
Yeah.
Because it really looks like he's finally figured out, you know, he sees the field now much more like Drew sees the field. And so it seems that
that high one that he threw, he caught it.
Right, that was incredible.
That was a really fantastic catch.
One of the reasons I was like, man, he could have got drilled. But if you look back, the defensive back was standing back like trying to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Because it was so high, he assumed it was going to be overthrown instead of hitting the guy, hitting Cook in the ribs where he could have literally broke him in half. He's gone for the interception.
So I think that it seems now, just in the nick of time in our final games now, we might have somebody who's going to take a little pressure off of Michael Thomas. Because now they're going to have to look at the film and they're going to say, wait a second, this tight end guy, he's coming into this. We might have to have somebody covering him. You know?
Right.
So my good for this game is Jared Cook, 87.
I have to agree with you. Cook is starting to step up, and it's starting to be – it's not it's consistently every week.
Yes, that's why I said the chemistry.
Not only is the chemistry there, but obviously the coaches are starting to develop some confidence in him, and I think they're starting to get him more involved in the game plan.
Yep.
So when we come back – we'll do a little bit, Bad Ugly?
Yes, sir.
And then there's a lot more stuff to cover. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back. Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero, the BS and Beer podcast crew on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, talking wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints. The Saints, 34-31 over the Carolina Panthers, their rival. Something we're talking about, like, it's a little bit easier, or how do you say this? I don't really hate them as much when Cam Newton's not playing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the rivalry's just not there when Cam Newton isn't playing.
Is he coming back?
Not this year.
Next year?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, you listen to him, and it's kind of like he is. If he comes back, I don't know if it's going to be on the Panthers.
No, I don't think so.
I see him as a Cincinnati Bengal next year, but that's okay.
No, you know what? That'd be a nice
– I'm just saying.
Because I have no real reason to like them. I can hate them
now. I see Cincinnati starting rolling out Joe Burrow next year.
Oh, God. Well, you know, man, all right. You know, like, they're the lovable losers.
Actually, the guy they already got in their team that's filling in the backup there, Finley or whatever, is not he's actually got a chance to be pretty good.
Except I just read today that what's his name is starting again. Good Andy, Bad Andy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're going to put it back in to start.
I don't know. The Carolina Panthers just would not die. They would not go away. The Saints start off strong. Carolina fights back. The Saints come out of the second half. Go down the field, score a touchdown, 3-and-out, and they get the ball back. And I'm pretty confident, if I remember correctly, they score another touchdown. And Carolina just simply would not die. You got to give them some credit. But let's also keep in mind, this is not the Atlanta Falcons. This is not a one-win team. This is a team that was
– they came in 5-5.
They had a win yesterday. They had to win the game on Sunday. If they wouldn't have won the game, which they didn't, they're basically out of the playoffs now.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know, so
speaking of which,
in,
the Saints can – clinch the division this week coming up.
That's right.
Now, the Atlanta Falcons on a short week.
Yep.
They're not the same team that even we played. I understand Julio Jones.
He's been out of practice. He missed practice again today.
Short week. He didn't practice early in the week. And again, short week. So I don't know how he's going to practice. Poe is their defensive tackle.
Yeah.
He torn hamstring, I believe. One way or another, he's done.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big run-stuffing, just a dominant defensive tackle. He's one of the reasons we had Fitz on our offensive line.
Yeah.
May have ruined Clapp's career. So he won't be there. Clapp will be on the bench and still be relieved. Like, thank God.
Clapp's been missing practice anyway with a back issue.
Oh, really?
The Saints are a 7-point favorite to go into Atlanta after what we saw on the field last time.
Who's
in the
confident
dome.
Confident in that? Not me.
Yeah,
put my hand down.
You know, but
my hands up.
I know you are.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I mean, Tomas, going in on a short week, there was when I heard at halftime of the Panthers game that Coach Payton was like, well, you'll see more. Like, in other words, it's like he had it planned that you wouldn't see Kamara to the second half. Made me start wondering, okay, is there certain things he's doing in this game to really prepare the team to be ready to play on Thursday? You know, like, we're not going to really get Kamara involved in the first half. We're going to kind of save him. I don't know. I'm
wondering if it doesn't have any more to do with the injury. because he hasn't played at the same frequency. What's the word I'm looking for? He hasn't had as many touches since he came back from the injury as he did prior. And I'm wondering if they're just not kind of got him on a pitch count a little bit.
Right.
It could be that, or it could be that our coach has decided he's going to play it a little bit differently. I mean, in those games that Kamara wasn't there, I think you saw a man come in, play the position, who won over the coaching. I think that Latavius came in and played so well that our offensive line was like, dude, he can play. And I think that the coaching staff said the same thing. Wait, hold on a second. He's not just a guy in case he gets hurt. Maybe he's a guy who can actually play. We can actually have some plays in it, which he has.
And he did.
And I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. And so to me, I think we are actually better now. And if we can save Kamara a little bit, all the better, because we get to the playoffs. We're going to want a lot, have as many options as we can.
Yeah.
So to me, now, I also heard that Lattimore could have possibly played, but because we're playing Atlanta on a short week, they decided, you know what, we're just going to leave Lattimore out and bring him back for Thursday. Because, that was the, if you remember, that was the thing when we got him, they were all like, oh, he's got hamstring issues. He's had hamstring issues the whole time.
Right, he had a lot of issues in college. Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's just a question of conditioning and taking care of it. So it could well be that, sort of like what Dave said, perhaps the schemes were such because they knew they had a short week. So that could be. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would be shocked if they didn't go into Atlanta and just win that game by 10 or more points. I would really be shocked, to tell you the truth.
Well, there's a part of me that agrees with you that, how many times have you seen this where, something happens and you lose confidence? Going into the Atlanta game, it was pretty much, how bad are we going to beat whoever they put in front of us in the Super Bowl? Then you throw in a stinker, and then all of a sudden, I literally, how are we going to win any games?
But all these teams are playing against us because this is their game.
No, and I get it. I get it. But you still got to beat them.
We will. We just won't beat them by 50.
No, I think that, to your point, it's unfair expectations. I'm just telling you how I feel, okay? And I have feelings. And I don't think it's fair for you to disregard my feelings.
No.
Okay?
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
I'm so sorry, little
snowflake.
Little Davey Snowflake.
Okay, so basically I'm just saying that's how I felt after the Atlanta game. But the reality of it is we're a much better team than they are.
What happened, man? I thought we were three alpha dogs in here. Now you gonna tell me you're not?
Well, I just had a moment. Okay. Can I have a moment? But then now the reality of it is you still – I can't – okay, I'm not going to speak for y'all. I'm going to say you. I still have that residual taste in my mouth from that last Atlanta game, and it makes me nervous. But the reality of it is watch the Saints come in there. They're going to be upset.
Yeah.
And they're going to come in there with their A game.
10 points. I'm calling for 10 points.
I honestly wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. All right. Heath, time for some bad. Now, I know this is your specialty.
Well, we kind of already touched on it, but coming into today, I really wanted to go off on the officials. It's like, and this could be a running theme. I didn't tweet. I sent this out during the game that, it's really getting to the point where it's ruining my viewing experience of football. It's taking away from the game. Now, maybe I'm focused on it too much, but it really is just, it's taking. I guess I'm looking at this, this is multi billions of dollars, right? These franchises are worth billion plus dollars. They have hundreds of millions of dollars of salary cap every year. And this is the best we can do with the officiating. We don't even have full-time people. Okay? And come on, And it's so bad. Something's bad when a league has something in place that if a coach even says something about it in his post-game thing, he gets fined. Yeah, they don't even want anybody talking about it.
Don't tell
them
about
it. Just ignore it it'll go away and people won't notice or whatever. Well, we're noticing. And so when they're talking about all the other reasons why there aren't as many fans in the stands these days and all they're competing with this and you can see it on TV. Take a look at you. Look in the mirror. Right. Maybe it's because people are fed up with some of the product that's on the field.
Right. I agree.
Anyway.
Yeah, and Sean Payton is going to get fined because
boys
in New York didn't have a good day.
Yeah, we didn't have our best game. They didn't have their best game. And the boys in New York didn't have their best game.
Yeah.
Okay, Sean, there you go.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, there's a rumor out there, more of a conspiracy theory, about it's not the league, and it's not Goodell, that it's actually the head of officials. I guess last year, this is what I've heard from several, not sources, but several people on the internet, maybe I should say, one on Twitter, SaintsReport.com, and they're saying that when Peyton came out last year and said, the head of officials told me, and I can't remember his name, that they blew the call, I guess that was said to him in private, and it wasn't meant to be for public consumption.
Right.
Well, right.
And so that guy, and that conspiracy theory actually kind of makes a little bit of sense. And when you add to it that the Saints came out, and not only the Saints players and the coaches, but every fan, and then it boils over into this year where Cam Jordan is calling them Foot Locker.
Yeah.
Don't think for a second that these officials don't hear these things and hear all the complaining and say to myself, and say, oh, okay. You think, and that kind of makes more sense than some grand conspiracy of the NFL trying to hold the Saints down and getting the referees involved in the conspiracy. So when I hear this, I'm like, that actually, to me, has a little bit more validity. The referees are like, we may have screwed up, but you need to shut up about it.
Well, I could see that, but I also see that the NFL is very much invested in big league teams. Like, for example, the Rams. And so I'm just saying, you know, you watch, look at the television schedule of what teams are on prime time. Who do you see? Rams. You got to stop for a second and say, hold on a second. The Rams, they're not putting that good a product out on the field. Why are these people still in prime time? If you've got that flex schedule ability, these dudes need to be gone. You need to be having somebody else on, but they don't. So to me, I can see what you're saying. It makes perfect sense about the referee situation. But I wouldn't just completely discount.
And like most things, it's probably a combination of both of them. You know what I'm saying? And one of them is attacking you directly on the field. The other ones are getting you know, a little bit more covertly behind the scenes. And so the irony in what you just said, not only did it just – you talking about the Rams just aggravated me about last year in the playoffs and the Super Bowl again, but also just gets me thinking like how – I mean, they're not even really that good a team this year.
No,
you know, I mean, they're not bad, but they're a 500 team, and I don't know if they were really that good last year. But
they weren't.
Everything was propping them up, and then the Saints are always the team that seems to be kind of the victim of whoever's the darling at the time.
Yeah,
and you know, there's a lot to be said that the Saints, very consistent. If you think about it, now they had some down years, but for the most part.
Since Sean Payton has been here, one of the winningest teams in football.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio. When we come back, we're going to have some picks. We still got a little bit more Saints to talk, but man, it's playoff time.
Yes, sir.
97.7.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coon ass.
.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew, talking wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints. New Orleans wins 34 in a nail-biter against the Carolina Panthers. I tell you what, you talked earlier, Heath, Cam Newton. I don't see him coming back. That kid that they put on the field, look, you can talk everything. He was accurate with his throws for the most part and didn't seem to wilt when the pressure got turned up.
No.
And quite frankly, if he wouldn't have had, you know, if you know, not for P.J. Williams helping him out with half of the stuff going on, you know, I mean, the guy played a pretty good game, and I think to myself, for a significantly less price than Cam Newton.
And drama.
And
you won't make the same fashion statement.
Hurting my eyes with his fashion.
Yeah.
I can't unsee it.
And the thing you got to remember about this guy is he stole a rookie. Right? He was on the street. He played one game last year, which was the game against us where we didn't play anybody because we were heading into the playoffs. I mean, he's a rookie, so, and he's playing pretty damn good.
No, I think he's playing solid ball.
I agree.
So I think it's a situation where I don't know why they were coming. Now, moving forward to this coming week, Thursday night game against the Atlanta Falcons look to be pretty beat up. Now, having said that, So are the Saints. The entire left side of the offensive line. Pete already out with a broken arm. Armstead, I heard high ankle sprain. And I never really, honestly, until the kid from Alabama, and they explained what they did to him, they put that string tighten that ligament back to his. I'm like, what's a high ankle sprain? I mean, my ligament's all gone in my ankle, so I'm like, it's a sprained ankle. Get out there. But so, and it's going to be interesting to see what they decide to do. And it's also going to be interesting, and maybe this is kind of premature, what they're going to do with Armstead going forward, because the guy cannot. You saw the play.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, it can't be anything too serious because nothing happened. Like, they showed Reed, the LSU safety, try to stop, and he rolled his ankle. They showed the ankle rolling. Man. But Armstead kind of jumped over the pile, landed, and next thing you know, they're carting him off the field. And there comes a point when the Saints – have to think of the future. Now, Tomas, I know you're going to like this one. Is the future to draft a new left tackle, or is Ramczyk the heir apparent to just slide over?
That's a good question.
Yeah, one we haven't pondered yet.
I would say to you, I don't believe that Ramczyk is the future at the left tackle. I believe Ramczyk is the right tackle until he decides to retire. Okay. But at the same time, you know, Armstead's like a racehorse, you know?
Good analogy.
I mean, he is so athletic. He has so many moves for a guy that you would never think that big, that much weight, that strong. But at the same time, like the racehorses. They're huge at the top, and then they got these little twigs for legs, little spindles, you know? And so,
and if you've never noticed that, all you gotta do is just like
look at his calves.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. But I'm talking to the people listening. Yeah. If you've never noticed that, all you gotta do is compare them to Pete when they stand next to each other.
Yeah.
You know, you got these little skinny legs.
Even Easton now,
big, thick, ankled, round.
You're not gonna move them.
Yeah, no, and I do realize that a tackle and a guard built differently because of what they're required to do.
Well, look at him next to Ramczyk. I bet you're going to see a big difference.
And that's going to say, when you look at Armstead, remember we talk about guys who they are 300-pound linemen, but they're going to either be 380-pound retired linemen or,
he'll be a slim guy when he retires.
Or 220-pound, and he's going to be a 220-pound guy.
Yeah.
Because you look at him, and, like, you could just tell that, like, man, looks like they – just inflated his belly, you know. It's like he don't look right. He's just not built to be that that heavy.
Yep.
And so it's going to be interesting to see. Next year, it will be the first year that the Saints would have even the ability. I don't know if that's the right way to say the option to consider getting rid of Armstead. I heard something about someone saying, I don't know if I'm just something that I heard said that made me think. Is that Armstead has done a lot of complaining himself about how injured, and I'm sure he's frustrated. And at some point, if you think about, like, you know, him telling his kids, yeah, right here is where I got my plate, and right here this leg had two surgeries, and right here, sooner or later, you want to have some type of quality of life. And you realize that, look, I had my run. I made some good money. It's time to walk away while I can, because this guy is going to be Steve Austin and the $1 million.
He could be one of those guys. He could be one of those guys. Or Saints could also go to him and try to restructure with a pay cut, quite frankly.
Say, let's get a good backup for you. You're only playing.
It's like, I mean, if you can only stay on the field for a certain percentage, at some point you got to go back and say, look, we got to pay you a percentage based on how long you're playing, because we got to have somebody behind you, man.
And also realize that we're going to pick 32, which means, you know, it's like the first pick of the second round. We're not going to really have a first-round pick after we win the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So, you know, you understand that perhaps the best player available might well be an offensive lineman.
Sure, sure.
You know, so it's not going to be Joe Burrow.
Now,
so I'm just saying.
Speaking of best available.
Yes.
I was looking at my picks, and we should point out about who's the best. No, you're just going to look
ahead.
At me.
I thought you said you didn't want to do that. Now because you're up one?
Listen.
See how it works now. I see how it works.
Listen.
So you want me to talk about the standings?
Listen.
Now, you know, they changed the format. Oh, yours they didn't?
Wait, hold up. Let's see. Where's standings?
Yours doesn't look like this anymore?
No.
Mine changed the way it looks on my the app changed. You remember we had problems with the app for a while? Well, my app came back, but it's different.
Looks different.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. All right, let's see.
So, all right, well, go ahead and read the standings.
What's interesting
Yeah, who's at the top?
Let's just skip all okay.
Who's
the top?
Number one? We just want to hear who's number one.
Is that Orion?
Yeah.
I mean, he's always at the top. This one's funny. I never noticed. Sheriff Wilmot.
Yes. You Sheriff, didn't know he was on there?
No, Sheriff Wilmot joined us. Okay. Yeah, there you appreciate go. It. Cajun
a lot
Billy.
Of people probably don't know who that is since you haven't done that in a long time.
Topher Leroy.
All right, we'll just get down to where you want to get down. That's enough of those.
Touchdown there. And other people that we don't care about.
Yeah, yeah.
But BS and Beer Dave.
Yeah, all right, BS
I
and Beer.
I told you. Listen, I don't mean to be arrogant. I told what? Y'all that I was just
what?
Luring him into a false sense of security.
First, he's a snowflake. Now he wants to be a,
I'm luring him into a false sense of security.
Go ahead.
I'm making my move.
You're making your move.
Like Armstead, a racehorse.
Uh-huh.
I was jockeying for position.
I see. So any moment now, you're going to go out.
Right behind me. And what's funny is all this stuff I'm talking. I'm number 10. You're number 11. I have a 55% win rate. You have a 56% win rate.
Yeah.
I'm 81 and 67. You're 81 and 64, but they obviously factoring in my good looks.
Oh,
and that's
that
why I got, I don't know why in the world I'm ahead of you because
it doesn't make any sense.
It don't make any sense, but I'll take it. All it right. got me as 9, and that's what it is.
All right.
All right. So Heath, I know you don't have access to
Heath, I saw that.
To the so let I'm just going to, I'm going to feed it to you here. Let's start off Thursday. I think this is Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. Bills. At the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are 6.5-point favorites.
I'm going to take the Bills and the points.
Tomas?
I think it's make-or-break week for the Cowgirls, and so they're playing at home. I think Jerry Jones is kind of upset because he said he shouldn't have to be worrying this much with this good a team. So I'm going to actually take the Cowgirls as much as it hurts my heart.
All right. Okay, so this one I think is interesting because the Packers go and get whooped by the 49ers. That's a whole thing we could have spent 30 minutes on talking about.
Yep.
The Packers are 6.5-point favorites at the Giants. What do you think?
I'm going to take the Packers and the points. I think they bounce back. Giants aren't very good.
Yeah, I take the Packers and give it the 6.5.
I feel the same way. The Packers are not – the 49ers, I have a little bit more respect for them, but I always knew the Packers just are not – good enough in the areas where the strong offensive line, not to mention they lost Bulaga. And I'm only going into depth in this is because they're not as good on defense in their front seven or on the offensive line to compete with teams like a healthy New Orleans Saints or a healthy 49ers who have dominant offensive and defensive lines. So I didn't expect to be that kind of blowout. Anyway, okay, so another interesting one, a lot of backups and whatnot, but the Browns at the Steelers, and the Steelers are at home
Getting
2 points.
I am going to take the Browns to give up the points. Steelers are going to have yet another new quarterback starting this week. And so.
Yep, I agree. So I will take – I think Baker Mayfield has figured it out and OBJ has figured it out, so I think I'm going to take the Browns.
Another sweep there. I'm going to go with the Browns. Now, I find this interesting. The Panthers, now that they all but out of it, do they keep playing tough? 10-point favorites against the Redskins. At home, Panthers are.
Yeah. I think they'll be 10 points better than the Reds. I'll take the Panthers in that one.
I think the Redskins showed a lot. They actually won the game last week.
Is he doing
and, with the rookie quarterback. And he took a selfie and he got chided about taking a selfie. But 10 points is a lot of points, so I'm going to have to go with the Panthers.
Okay. I'm going to do the same thing.
What?
Okay. Yeah, he was
I'm
doing
going
the
with
thing.
The Panthers. Yeah, he did the thing. All right. All right. Here's a great game. The 49ers and the Ravens. The Ravens are 4.5-point favorites at home.
I'm going to take the Ravens and give up the 4.5 points.
I would like the 49ers to be undefeated when they come to play the Saints so that we can really whoop their behind.
I feel what you're saying.
Well, but I got to go with the Ravens because I think the Ravens are a better team at home than the 49ers are.
Man, I'm going with the Ravens. Listen, I was a Raven hater. I got to tell you, I even remember I was ready to go at my age. I was going to go outside, get somebody to catch a ball, and show that I could throw a ball better than
Jackson.
Jackson during his pre-draft workout where he couldn't even hit a receiver on swinging out of the backfield. He was sharp, and you can run like that and throw like that.
Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah,
Tomas, tell us about the Saints.
I think that the Saints are going to go in. I think they're not happy about losing to Atlanta at home.
I think they realize that they have to whoop them.
Okay, good call. Hey.
By 10. By 10.
Thanks for hanging out with us. BS and Beer Podcast, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to Davy Heat and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't waste time.